True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
It only took until September, but Francisco Lindor and the New York Mets are finally coming to life. Welcome into Fantasy Baseball Today on Monday, September 13th. Frank Stanfield joined by the one, the only, Scotty Dubs, Scott White. Lots to recap. We have a bunch of potential waiver moves. Would you rather questions for Scott? We'll get into the Mets in just a second. We had another no-hitter, the ninth of this MLB season, which actually breaks a record. Record-setting ninth no-hitter this weekend. But what's going on, Scott? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was great. It was great, Frank. Watched some football. I'm sure you did, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a big weekend. It's a busy weekend. Yes. We were talking beforehand. My day started very early. We're up very late. So for those of you that are watching us live currently on YouTube, we do appreciate you hanging around for this. Scott, I went to the Mets-Yankees Subway Series. The whole series was awesome, by the way. I mean, whatever. The Yankees lost 2 out of 3, but the games were very like back and forth. At least Saturday and Sunday were. But man, Saturday was awesome. One of the best live games that I've ever been to in my life. Aaron Judge, 2 home runs. Makes an awesome catch in the ninth inning. So that was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I mean, the real exciting game was Sunday, it seemed like. So if you could have weaseled your way out of the first week of NFL games and gone to that one instead, you would have really been in for a treat. A brawl, 3 home runs by Francisco Lindor, including a game winner in the eighth. Not like a walk-off, but still.
Yeah.
It wasn't a brawl, right? The bench is cleared. Yeah, it wasn't a brawl.
There was no brawl.
Going a little far there with the brawl talk, but you know, there was some excitement.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we had Stanton and Lindor kind of chit-chatting and rounding the bases and stuff. Benches clear there. So yeah, awesome series. We'll get into all of that. But let's just start with the no-hitter. Corbin Burnes pulled after 8 innings. Does not allow a hit. 14 strikeouts to 1 walk. 26 swinging strikes on 115 pitches. Josh Hader comes in, clean inning in the ninth, 2 strikeouts, picks up his 31st save of the season. As I mentioned, ninth no-hitter in baseball this season, the third time Cleveland has been no-hit. So they have Jose Ramirez, and then that's basically it. Nah, I mean, Franmil Reyes has been fine, but look, lineup needs a lot of help there in Cleveland. The story here is Corbin Burnes, Scott. I don't know, you know, how early he's going to be drafted next year. I think he's very clearly inside the top 5, at least, maybe the top 3 starting pitchers for next year, but it's just been an absolutely ridiculous season for him.
Yeah, 5. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think I had him outside of my top 5 the last time I did this. I probably had Shane Bieber in. And of course, you know, it's kind of contingent on DeGrom's status too. Is DeGrom going to have some kind of surgical remedy for his elbow in the offseason or not? If not, then obviously he's going to be number one, and Garrett Cole's up there, and Max Scherzer and Brandon Woodruff. So we're at 4 right there. I don't know. It might be a little tough to get Burnes in the top 5, but I got to say, I've been really impressed by how deep into the season he's continued to work deep into games. or be used as a conventional starter, because he was one of the ones I was most concerned about that for coming into this season. Yeah, he spent so much of his career in relief up to this point. Last year, obviously, it was what it was, so he didn't get many innings then. He's up over 150 now, but, you know, their Brewers are going to be in the playoffs, so it's surprising that in September, with the division basically locked up, they're still letting him go eight innings and throw somewhere around 115 pitches.
Yeah.
Exactly, 15 pitches. So, you know, that's been impressive to see. And like many other pitchers who saw his spin rates decline in June, they suddenly seem fine again. So make of that whatever you will.
Yeah, they have a 14-game lead in the National League Central. So yeah, definitely, yeah, is,
it's over.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting that they are letting him go that far. But I guess one way to assure that you won't get pulled is pitching without allowing a hit. So Corbin Burns has been awesome this year. Top five, top six, I think, somewhere in that range heading into next season. So if you have him in anywhere, keeper, dynasty leagues, man, it is it's a good time. It's a good time to have Corbin Burns on your fantasy team. How about some other players from the weekend? Let's get into it.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, Scott, we've already referenced those Metsies a few times. Which way are you going?
Well, yeah, I'm going with Francisco Lindor just because it was a performance to make you say, oh, my goodness gracious, based on the season he's had. So far, we've kind of gotten into it a little already, and I don't know that there's anything to take away from it here in September. I mean, if you used your second round pick on Lindor, are you going to take a victory lap for a three-homer game in September? I don't think so. I don't think that's the way to go about it. He is having, you know, this has been his most prolific month for home runs. He's up to six now for the month. And that was after, well, obviously he missed most of August. So, no, I mean, six home runs here in September, but the batting average is still kind of suspect. It's been a really weird season for Lindor. The average exit velocity, the hard hit rates, they're both as high as they've ever been for him. And, you know, part of that's just because those rates have gone up across the league, but still, and it doesn't seem like Lindor has suffered in those areas, and his strikeout rate has been higher than usual, but still in the same range, in that 15% range, you know? So it's been difficult. It's been difficult to pin down what exactly is going on for Lindor, who should still have plenty left. He's 27 years old. I mean, he's in the prime of his career. He shouldn't be in decline yet. Hopefully he finishes strong. Hopefully this is the start of a really strong last 3 weeks, and we can have some level of confidence drafting him next season.
Yeah, three home runs on Sunday. He now has six homers over his last nine games. And what I noticed is he's lifting the ball more in September, 48% fly ball rate. That is his highest of any month. Obviously, we're only about not even halfway through the month, but almost there. So it looks like he's consciously trying to put the ball in the air more. And since returning on August 24th, 92 mile per hour average exit velocity. That's really good. I mean, that's an elite mark. So he is hitting the ball harder. He's putting the ball in the air. And so far, it's led to good things for Lindor. So I'm right there with you, Scott. We need to see something. We need to see more to give us a reason. Oh, he's still going to be drafted next year, but.
Oh, of course.
To be drafted.
But how high?
To be drafted, yeah. With confidence, right? So. It looks like he's trending that way right now. Francisco Lindor is. I'm going to go with Tyler McGill, who pitched on Friday against the Yankees. Seven innings, two runs, 10 strikeouts to one walk. He had 18 swinging strikes on 98 pitches. Velocity was up a little bit across the board. He is 55% rostered, and he only has one start this week, but it looks like he's going up against the St. Louis Cardinals, who it's a pretty good matchup. They are 23rd in weighted on base average against right-handed pitching this season. So it's been a rocky, you know, past three or four starts leading into this one, but a really, really strong performance from McGill on Friday.
Well, and he had eight strikeouts against the Nationals the start before that. It wasn't a quality start, but it wasn't far off. So I think McGill probably deserves to be rostered in more leagues than he is. Having said that, next week, it looks like he's in line to face you know, maybe a two-star week. Red Sox and Brewers, it's only a five-game week for the Mets, so maybe not. Maybe just the Red Sox, which obviously wouldn't be the greatest matchup. And then the final week of the season, that would line him up for the Marlins and the Braves. Marlins would be a good matchup. The Braves, not a good matchup. So a mixed bag there with the matchups for McGill. If you're playing the matchups game at this point, I think he's fine for the Cardinals this week. I actually added him to my 10 sleeper pitchers for this week. But, you know, being a sleeper pitcher obviously doesn't mean a must-start pitcher either. So just depends what your pitching needs are. But, you know, for the most part, I like what we've seen from McGill.
Yep. And we did get a question from Sean in our YouTube chat, and he was asking, what are some tips on rest of season waiver ads? And I think Scott just gave you one there. Is at this point, we're looking at schedules. We're looking at matchups more than anything else. We're not really picking up players that have long-term upside or potential, maybe unless you play in a keeper league, but mostly we're looking at matchups at this point. So McGill this week against the Cardinals, it's a good one.
There are certain players that I don't care about the matchups as much. I just think they've been overlooked for so long. Mm-hmm. Frank Schwindel, Ranger Suarez. Now, it just so happens they have pretty good matchups. The Cubs, not this upcoming week, but then the 2 weeks following, they have good matchups. So it helps. But I think players like that, it wouldn't so much matter what the matchups are. They just have shown an ability to make an impact.
Yeah.
Of course, they're both... they're not widely available. They're available in about a third of CBS sports leagues.
Schwindel is climbing, Scott. I saw he's all the way up to 58%. So
yeah,
people are listening, and it took a while, but he's playing very well. We'll get more into Schwindel in just a little bit. Scott, I want you to rank some waiver wire starting pitchers based on their matchups this upcoming week. Cole Irvin made a nice start over the weekend. 7 innings, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts against the Rangers. He is 66% rostered at the Angels this upcoming week. I mentioned Tyler McGill. Eric Lauer, another strong performance on Sunday. 5 1/3, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. He is home against the Cubs this week. Adrian Hauser, his last two starts, he has allowed 2 unearned runs, 0 earned runs over 15 innings pitched. One of those was a complete game. He's at home against the Cubs this week. And then Michael Pineda started against the Royals this week in 5 innings, 1 run, 3 strikeouts up against Cleveland, who I think they've replaced the Mariners, Scott. So there's a chance that Michael Pineda might throw a no-hitter in that game.
Right. They've given up the most no-hitters this season, 3 of them. So I have to change my Mariners joke, apparently.
That's right. So how would you rank this group, Scott? Cole Irvin, Tyler McGill, Eric Lauer, Adrian Hauser, Michael Pineda.
So we're just talking about how much I want to start them for this upcoming week, right?
Yep.
McGill would be number one. He's the only one of my 10 sleeper pitchers. The others... yeah, I'm not necessarily opposed to using them with the matchups they have, but not as much confidence, obviously. So I'll rank the others. Let's go Cole Irvin, because he has the best chance of providing a lot of length, followed by Lauer, Hauser, and Pineda. By the way, I was looking at Lauer, considering him for the waiver wire column for this week, and I don't love the Brewers matchups for their pitchers the rest of the way, so you might not have much use for Lauer after this week, who's suspect anyway. I mean, he's been really successful of late. Let's see, what day did he start this weekend? Did he start Sunday?
Yep.
So Lauer's numbers, if I can find them real quick, so over his 2 earned runs or fewer in 11 of his past 12 starts. That's a 1.84 ERA, 1.01 WHIP, 8.2 K per nine over a 12 start stretch. But, not a lot to explain how he's been that successful. I don't really have a good explanation for it. So I'm highly skeptical of it.
All right. Again, that is Eric Lauer. Let's quickly fire up the drop-o-meter here, Scott, because we just talked about some pitchers you might want to add. Let's talk about a few that you might want to drop. Josiah Gray has allowed 17 earned runs over his last 3 starts. He does face Colorado this week in Washington, so normally that would be a good matchup, but he's just pitching so poorly right now. He's 64% rostered. Where is he on the drop-o-meter?
Pretty much a 10. I mean, his last 3 starts, 5 home runs allowed, bunch of walks too. And for some reason in those 3 starts, he's really faded his slider. I don't know why. I don't know if he's just lost the feel for it or something, but he does not look nearly nearly as effective without it.
All right. How about Corey Kluber, who has an 8.49 ERA in three starts since returning? He has not completed. He has not gone more than four innings in any of those starts. He's still 78% rostered, but he faces Cleveland this week, Scott. So he might throw four no-hit innings.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with how Kluber's three starts back from the IL have gone. The velocity seemed fine. He's been getting whiffs on his curveball. He's doing it. It appears he's doing the things that he was finding success with before he went on the IL. But obviously, he's given you no reason to use him since returning. So I'll put him like eight on the drop-o-meter.
Yeah. I mentioned I was at the start Saturday. Corey Kluber started that game. He gave up a lot of hard contacts. He just didn't really have a feel for anything. He didn't throw many strikes. I don't know. He looks off right now. And normally he's a slow starter, so this might be him being a slow starter, you know, returning back into the rotation. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think you could probably drop Kluber. Tarek Skubal. He threw three shutout innings with six strikeouts against the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend, but that's back-to-back three-inning starts. He's still 73% rostered.
Yeah, I'd put him at like a nine. It seems like the Tigers are guarding his workload now, just like they are with Casey Mize. So I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be much more use for Skubal the rest of the way.
We spoke about this guy last week too, but James Kaprielian, he's still 78% rostered. He has a 5.73 ERA over his last seven starts. Is he gone?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put him at 10. I'll put it at 8, like Kluber is. You know, he had been outperforming his xFIP for most of the season, and just seems like it's catching up to him now.
James Kaprielian,
he gone.
A quick oh my goodness gracious team from the weekend. The Toronto Blue Jays, they scored 44 runs on Saturday and Sunday combined. So that was three games. Saturday was a doubleheader. They actually scored 11 runs in the final inning, in the seventh inning, to come back and win that game against Baltimore. I mean, the Orioles pitching staff is just so bad, but I wanted to give the Blue Jays a shout out. They scored 22 runs on Sunday alone, which if you saw the score on your little ticker while you're watching TV, you probably thought it was a football score, but they wind up winning 22-7. So a few standouts. Vlad Jr. hit two more homers. He's now up to 44 home runs for the season. Teoscar Hernandez, eight hits over those three games on Saturday and Sunday. Two more homers. He's now at 27 home runs, 11 steals for the season. Great, great year for Teoscar Hernandez. And then Lourdes Gurriel, three homers, six runs, 10 RBI over the last 2 days, 87% rostered, so likely not available. But very quietly, Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel rather, up to a 283 batting average with an 802 OPS. So really slow starter, a lot like Michael Conforto has disappointed for most of the year. But once August came around, I mean, both Lourdes Gurriel and Michael Conforto have turned it on in the outfield if you held on to those guys. So,
well, yeah, I mean, Teoscar Hernandez has been good all year.
Oh, for
Gurriel.
Sure.
Yeah, Gurriel lately. Hernandez has been one of my biggest misses because he was the bust call I was most confident in back in spring, remember? But, you know, really, really cut down on his strikeout rate. So that hasn't been the issue that it had been throughout his career.
It's going to be interesting to see where he goes next year in drafts, Teoscar Hernandez, because I was basically comparing him to Kyle Tucker. They have very similar numbers. I would have to imagine Kyle Tucker is going to be a second-round pick at least. I think he's probably going to go somewhere in that range.
Probably borderline second, third.
But if you compare their numbers side by side, they're not far off. Teoscar Hernandez and Kyle Tucker, very similar players this year. So it's going to be interesting. Some news and notes from the weekend. Max Scherzer became the 19th pitcher in Major League history to 3,000 strikeouts. He took a perfect game into the eighth inning. He only gave up one hit with nine strikeouts against the San Diego Padres. So shout out to Max Scherzer. You want to talk about misses? That was me. I was way off on Max Scherzer. Mets manager Luis Rojas said on Sunday that he's hopeful Jacob DeGrom will be able to resume mound work this week. I don't know if, like, should we continue holding Jacob DeGrom, Scott?
It's obvious. It's not imperative.
Yeah.
If you have an IL spot to stash him in, there's not really any downside to that, but I am, you know, how much time does he have to get stretched out? I mean, even Shane Bieber, he's scheduled to begin a rehab assignment Tuesday. He hasn't pitched since June, right? Like,
yeah.
For what? For one start? Is he going to come back, make one start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
two starts? I don't know.
I would have to imagine, since he hasn't pitched since June, he's probably going to need at least two starts, right? On rehab?
On rehab, so Tuesday and Sunday, hopefully, maybe not even till the following week. And yeah, then
maybe we
next
see him
week, not this upcoming week, but next week is the second to last week of the season.
Yeah. So. I mean, yeah, you might have Bieber for those final 2 weeks, but it's, you know, how much are they going to push him? Cleveland's out of it too. So
yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. The White Sox are expected to use a 6-man rotation over the rest of the season, which will allow Ronaldo Lopez to make a few more starts. But then Tony La Russa said that he's uncertain when Carlos Rodon will pitch next. So Rodon limited the Red Sox to one run over 5 innings on Friday. Scott, have you seen anything on this, the latest Carlos Rodon White Sox rotation?
I haven't. Keeping up with rotations, you know, it's funny. We're saying, oh, this pitcher's next 4 matchups are this, but can't really say that with a lot of certainty. It's just keeping up with rotations right now
it's a mess.
It's dicey. It's dicey.
It's a mess. Yeah. I mean, these are very tentative schedules that we're throwing out there. But again, like we said, I said it on Friday's podcast, and we're talking about, you know, schedules moving forward, 2-star pitchers. It's, you know, take a lot of it with a grain of salt. But these are the things that you should be looking at again this time of year is matchups more than anything else. Awesome story as Chris Bassitt threw a bullpen session on Saturday, 30 pitches, and he could make multiple starts before the end of the season. And if you remember, he got hit in the face with a line drive back in August, and he had to have surgery on his, he had a fractured cheek. So it's a great story for Chris Bassitt. He's 69% rostered. Scott, would you look to add and stash Bassitt anywhere?
No, I still think it's a long shot. He's going to get to a point where you could trust him in your lineup.
Yeah. Well, you know, Oakland, unlike the other teams that we've talked about, they are playing for something right now. They're 3 games out of the wild card spot, so they're trying
they're trying to stay in it.
They're trying.
They're falling. They're sinking like a rock. The Mariners have a better chance of making the playoffs now.
I just realized the Yankees are a game out of the wild card. Imagine trading for Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo and not playing for a wild card game.
Mm-hmm. Imagine trading for Jose Barrios and not playing for a wild card game.
Yeah.
As it, you know, the Blue Jays were pretty far out of it at the time. Now they're ahead of the Yankees.
Yeah. There's the AFC East right there at the top of the wild card. The Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and then the Yankees are a game behind.
So. What division was that?
What did I say? AFC East? Gosh, Scott. Oh my gosh. All right, well, football's here, and it's Sunday, so there you go. The AL East. Chris Sale, speaking of the Red Sox, he tested positive for COVID on Friday and missed his start this weekend. He'll be out at least 10 days, which means he won't start this upcoming week either, so make sure to get Chris Sale out of your lineups. Trevor Bauer's administrative leave was officially extended through the end of the postseason as expected. The Dodgers placed Kenley Jansen on the paternity list. He'll miss the next 1 to 3 days. Jack Flaherty is scheduled to throw a bullpen session Thursday. He's on the IL with a shoulder strain. A lot like the other pitchers we've talked about, Scott, I just don't think that there's enough time here for Flaherty to get built back up.
I don't think so.
Yep. Marcell Ozuna was placed on administrative leave under the league's domestic violence policy. Domingo Germán will start a rehab assignment on Tuesday. David Bednar was unavailable Sunday due to right side discomfort. And I believe Chris Stratton picked up at least one save this weekend. Yeah, on Saturday. 6 saves. So if you play in a deep categories league, I picked up Stratton in a 15-team roto league where I am very desperate for saves. So again, you have to be pretty desperate there. For the Pirates would be closer, I guess. The Rays activated reliever Nick Anderson. Any interest in him, Scott, in very deep leagues?
So he's another pitcher who had an elbow ligament issue and didn't have Tommy John surgery to correct it. So, you know, and it's the Rays. I think the reliever to roster there is Andrew Kittredge, but that's not saying much, and that has as much to do with his ERA as anything else.
We had a couple of players go to the IL this weekend, and a lot with the Tampa Bay Rays, actually. Wander Franco with a right hamstring strain, which is unfortunate because he's been awesome here in the second half. So there's a chance he returns for the end of the season, you know, maybe last week or so, but yeah. Sucks. Shane McClanahan, another one. Yeah, he went to the IL with back stiffness, but only expected to miss one start. So definitely keep Shane McClanahan on your teams. Chris Archer went to the IL with hip discomfort. Matthew Boyd with a left elbow strain. Steven Brault with a left lat strain. Scott, would you start or sit these players who are currently questionable? The Yankees are optimistic Gerrit Cole will start on Tuesday, but I guess there's still anything can happen. The year of the setback. So would you throw Gerrit Cole back in your lineups?
Yeah, I mean, lining up for two starts, and those two starts would be the Orioles and the Indians. So you might throw two no-hitters.
That's very welcome for the Yankees right now. Aaron Judge left Sunday's game due to dizziness. I haven't seen any updates on this yet, Scott, but the Yankees do play on Monday. They have seven games this week, so you'll have to make the decision right away.
Yeah, he's been amazing, too, of late. So I would expect to play him.
Yeah. Blake Snell left Sunday with left adductor tightness, which also sucks because Blake Snell has been amazing. What do you think here, Scott?
Yeah, that's just figures. It figures, Frank. Can't we get good pitching this time of year? Like,
nope.
There's so little to be had.
Scott, where is a left adductor?
It's the groin.
Oh, all right. I've heard it a million times in my life, but I couldn't. Like, if you told me, if I had a skeleton and I had to, or if I had to point to Derek Jeter here on my wall and say, where is his adductor?
I'd rather not point to that.
Would you take Blake Snell out of your lineup?
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too good.
He might be out for the season.
The Padres aren't expected to place Jake Cronenworth on the IL, but he is managing a fractured left ring finger. What do you do there?
Jeez. I mean, players have played through broken fingers before. So, do we know when he hurt it?
It happened this weekend.
Okay, so it hasn't been. So we don't really have an idea how he's going to do with it.
He didn't play. I think it happened Friday because he only had one at bat, and then he didn't play Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, so he sat out the whole weekend. Okay, probably should try to sit him then.
Yep. How about Chris Taylor? He's missed two straight with a neck injury.
He's been ice cold too. So if you have alternatives, be good to play it safe.
Tim Anderson is expected to be activated Tuesday. Throw him back in.
Yeah.
Zach Greinke apparently will return Tuesday and start against the Rangers.
Okay, yeah, start him.
Joe Adele was out Sunday after running into the outfield wall on Saturday, and he's been pretty hot recently. He's got an 8-game hitting streak, and during that span, he has 3 homers and 1 steal. What do you think about Joe Adele?
I don't like the Angels matchups this week. They have the second worst matchup, so with the health situation happening there too, I would rather sit Joe Adele.
Last one here, Michael Brantley is dealing with knee discomfort and did not play on Sunday. And while he's hit for a great batting average all year, batting .315, virtually no power. 8 home runs, 45 RBI. It's pretty dreadful for Michael Brantley.
Well, I love the Astros matchups this week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously you actually need him to be in the lineup to take advantage of those. Probably going to sit him in most standard size leagues.
The Astros do play on Monday at 8 o'clock, so you should know at a decent time, you know, maybe an hour or so beforehand, whether or not Michael Brantley is in the lineup. A few prospect updates. Seth Beer, finally, Scott, he was called up on Friday by the Diamondbacks, and he homered in his first career at bat. He is 8% rostered. Would you look to add Seth Beer anywhere?
Sure. 15-team leagues for certain, probably some 12-team roto leagues. It's not clear how much he's going to play. The Diamondbacks were in an AL park this week, and I believe Seattle, right?
Yep.
And so he had a pinch hit home run on Friday and then started Saturday and Sunday at DH. Went 4-for-8 with the home run and a double. So got off to a great start, and obviously they don't have anything to lose this year. Might as well audition him for next year since he's up. you would think, but defense is an issue for him even at first base. So can't be 100% sure they're going to play him. They should, but it remains to be seen. So I wouldn't go crazy for Seth Beer yet, but really good profile for fantasy purposes. Hit for average and power in the minors, good on base skills, kind of a Moneyball era throwback in that all he does is mash. Mm-hmm.
I picked him up in my NFBC main event, which is a 15 team 5x5 roto league. I picked him up for $1 out of a $1,000 budget. So
sounds good to me.
Yeah. Let's get some playing time. Seth Beer. We'll throw him in there. But again, yeah, for deeper leagues, take a look at Seth Beer. Jose Barrero was recalled by the Reds this weekend, Scott. Even though we just spoke about him on Friday, he was called up because Kyle Farmer went on paternity leave. So anything to see here with Barrero?
And I think Barrero got hurt on Saturday.
Yeah, I saw something.
It was back in the lineup Sunday. I didn't check that.
Let's see. He was not in the lineup Sunday.
Yeah. And since it's a paternity leave thing anyway, mm-hmm. yeah, I think they'll go back to Farmer when he's back in the lineup either way.
Clark Schmidt was promoted and started for the Yankees on Sunday. He was not great. He, I believe, gave up 5 runs over 4 2/3. Only 2 of those were earned. So he is regarded as one of their better pitching prospects. 4 1/3, 5 runs, 2 of those earned, 3 walks at 2 strikeouts. Not really. Anything? Clark Schmidt?
No, I don't even. There's no reason to believe it's even a long-term stay, right?
So, yeah.
Nah.
All right. With Randy Arozarena activated this weekend, Josh Lowe was sent back to the minors, which we assumed would happen. And Rangers third base prospect Josh Young is not expected to make his major league debut this season. So if you were stashing him anywhere in redraft, you could drop him. But maybe next year in keeper and dynasty leagues. Let's take a quick break. When we return, we've got a ton of waiver wire hitters. Gonna make Scott make some tough decisions. We'll do that next here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right, so let's rank some outfielders in shallower leagues, Scott. I mentioned Michael Conforto a little bit earlier. The Mets are hot, Lindor is hot, and so is Michael Conforto since the start of August. A .276 batting average, .870 OPS, 6 homers. He's 71% rostered. He's got 6 home games this week. Joe Adell, I mentioned, you don't like his matchups this week, but he's on an 8-game hitting streak. Andrew Benintendi, over his last 5 games, he has 12 hits, 3 homers. He's 56% rostered. And then Ian Happ, who I think kind of fits that mold that you mentioned with Frank Schwindel, where you don't like the matchups for the Cubs, but Ian Happ is just too hot to leave on the waiver wire. So he is 57% rostered. How would you rank that group, Scott? Conforto, Adell, Benintendi, Ian Happ.
Yeah, Hop would be number one. Again, I don't know that you start him this week necessarily, but I do like the Cubs matchups for the 2 weeks thereafter. So he'd be number one. And then Conforto. And we've been waiting to see this from him all year. It's happening so late that I don't know. I don't know if he's fine now. You know, obviously a small sample, and it's not like overwhelmingly awesome. It's just like normal Michael Conforto production. but he would be second, followed by Adele and then Benintendi.
All right, there you go. So that is Hap, Conforto, Adele, Benintendi. Would you rather hitter edition? I've got a lot of these, Scott. Tough decision. Number one, I know Jamer Candelario is on your sleeper hitter list for this week, but Frank Schwindel has been great since he has joined the Chicago Cubs. He had six more hits this weekend, added another home run. He's 58% rostered. Candelario had a double dong on Sunday and just having a really big second half, 915 OPS in the second half this season. Who would you rather have for this upcoming week, or I guess rest of season, Candelario or Schwindel?
You know, I'm looking at the Tigers matchups. Now the White Sox are tough. They got the White Sox twice, and then this week their matchups. Okay, so if you can afford to roster both, I would start Candelario over Schwarber this week, or Schwindel this week. But Schwindel's the one that needs to be rostered. So I'll say Schwindel.
Okay. I think that's fair, though. I mean, nice little caveat there. But yeah, really good matchups this upcoming week for Jamer Candelario. How about in the Baltimore Orioles outfield, Scott? Anthony Santander, three homers this weekend. He is 57% rostered. Six games this upcoming week, including three lefties on the schedule. And then Austin Hayes, who I know is also one of your sleeper hitters, over his last 15 games, 311 batting average, four home runs. Who would you rather have, Austin Hayes or Anthony Santander?
Well, this is very much a week-to-week situation, and the Orioles are in line to face at least three lefties. Santander's worse against lefties. Hayes is better. Hayes has a near 900 OPS against lefties on the year. So I would say Austin Hayes. By the way, Santander, prior to that little home run binge over the weekend, he'd been cold. it had been like a 13-game stretch where he had done nothing. So it was very, like, when Santander is one of those players, when he's not homering, he's just a waste of a lineup spot.
All right.
So, yeah. Hayes. Going Hayes.
All right. Austin Hayes, we're going with there. Let's say you need a catcher, Scott, in a one-catcher league. Oof. This is a toughie. I know you like both of these guys. Dalton Varsho went 3-for-4 with his 10th home run on Saturday. He's got six road games this upcoming week. Alejandro Kirk is hot right now, and I know he was one of your oh-my-goodness-gracious players last week. His last 15 games, 288 batting average, five homers for Alejandro Kirk. Who would you rather have, Varsho or Kirk?
I've been debating these two all day in my leagues. Some leagues where I have Varsho, do I drop him for Kirk in the waiver wire column coming out Monday? Do I feature Kirk or Varsho? I think I'm going to have to lean toward Kirk. It's mostly a matchups thing. The Diamondbacks this week, they get the Dodgers and Astros. Next week, the Braves and Dodgers. The final week of the season, Giants. And then Rockies. The Rockies you don't worry about so much. But all those others are tough for Varsho. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays have it pretty good. So I do think Varsho is higher upside and potentially more playing time. But that's not even how it's been playing out. So I'll go Kirk.
Yeah, and if you want to take lineup context into account as well, I mean, just the Blue Jays, one of the best lineups in baseball right now. So that definitely helps Alejandro Kirk as well. Let's say you need a corner infielder, Scout, with some pop. Who would you rather have? Brandon Belt, who has 10 hits and three home runs over his last five games, or Bobby Dalbec, who hit another home run on Friday and in the second half is batting .281, 11 homers, a .968 OPS. Belt or Dalbec?
So this week it's definitely Dalbec because the Red Sox are scheduled to face five lefties. Dalbec is at his best against lefties.
Five lefties, wow.
Yep, he's in my 10 sleeper hitters, and Belt is not. Now, Belt, obviously he's been hot. He was in my 10 sleeper hitters for this past week. Obviously that turned out well.
Crushed it.
Here's the issue. He was out of the lineup Sunday against a left-hander. Wilmer Flores was in the lineup at first base. And if you look back at when Belt went from being a platoon player to an everyday player, it was when Wilmer Flores went on the IL at the start of September. So now Flores is back. Does Belt go back to sitting against lefties?
No.
I know. It would be annoying, but I fear that's what's going to happen. So I will take Dahlbeck, not just for this week. I would, I don't know. I can't predict the matchups for the next 2 weeks, how many lefties and righties for each of these teams, but I would not be beholden to Belt because I think he's going to lose playing time.
Okay, I'll just point out, this is what CBS has for this upcoming week, that the Giants are only scheduled to face one lefty as of now, and that is Max Fried.
So that's good, but it's tough matchups. They have the fifth worst matchups, according to moi.
Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, Charlie Morton. Even, obviously Max Fried is pitching very well, so it is pretty tough for the Giants this upcoming week. Let's say you play in a five outfielder league, Scott, and you want to pick up someone who's hot right now. I think Lane Thomas and Brian De La Cruz would both fit that description. Lane Thomas hit a three-run homer on Sunday. He's consistently leading off for the Washington Nationals. He's 12% rostered. Brian De La Cruz for the Marlins this weekend. Five hits. He added another home run. And in 39 games with Miami, 338 batting average, four home runs for De La Cruz. He's 8% rostered. Who do you like more, Lane Thomas or BDLC?
So Brian De La Cruz, the Marlins have the better matchups this week. So I'll go with him for this week. And I'm not particularly high on either of these guys, though. Entering Sunday's game, De La Cruz had a 456 BABIP. So, obviously the batting average was well over 300. So maybe it stands to reason the BABIP's going to be high, but that's really high. Too high to sustain.
I'm pretty sure he has, it was like a 257 expected batting average last I saw. Yep, that's it too. So currently batting 338. Should be some regression here. So, all right. So did you give an answer for that? Who do you like more?
Yeah, for this week, I'll take De La Cruz, but it's not. Like, I didn't even put him in my 10 sleeper hitters. Maybe I should have, but but I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's more of a deeper league play anyway. Just like these players, if you need some speed, Scott, they play on the same team. Would you rather have Leody Taveras or Yanni Hernandez? Taveras, in 16 games since returning to the Rangers, only batting .209, but he's got three homers, five steals, so he's making stuff happen. Yanni Hernandez, his last seven games, has seven hits with five steals. Stole a ton of bases in the minor leagues as well. So if you just need speed, which one of those guys do you like more?
Taveras.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
No, I mean, he makes a little bit more things happen. I think if you just need speed, Hernandez would make more sense. But if you're looking for the highest upside, I do think Taveras has more upside in general. So I'm cool with that. They do play seven home games this week too. So I don't know exactly how good the matchups are, but volume wise,
they're not good.
Not good. Not good for Texas. All right. So if you do need some speed, those are some names to look at. How about if you need some power in deeper leagues? Jesus Sanchez hit a home run in three straight games this weekend. Some bombs too. One went 460. Another one went 429. He's 25% roster. DJ Peters, his last seven games with Texas, he's batting .321 with three homers. Hit a good amount of home runs in the minor leagues too. And then Yoshi Tsutsugo, 24 games with the Pirates, .279 batting average, seven homers, a .1096 OPS. Deeper league, Scott, if you need pop. Sanchez, Peters, Tsutsugo.
Probably Sanchez. The Marlins have the best matchups of these three teams and, home runs in three straight games. I didn't put him on my 10 sleeper hitters either because he's kind of a poor man's Anthony Santander, where it's home run or nothing, basically, for Jesus Sanchez. But definitely not ready to trust DJ Peters. And I'm not ready to trust Yoshi Tsutsugo either, but really productive since joining the Pirates. It's very interesting what he's done. I'm not, again, not ready to buy into it, but keeping a close eye on it here to close out the season.
Yep. If you play in a 15-team Roto League, Tsutsugo has six games this week, only one lefty on the schedule. So he's been sitting against lefties, has started seven of the last eight games for the Pirates. So the upcoming schedule helps for Sutsugo this week. Some hitting leftovers from the weekend. Anything here with these names, Scott? Tommy La Stella had a big game on Saturday. He went 3-for-6 with a home run, 5 RBI. He did not play on Sunday. He led off the previous 4 games for the Giants. Gavin Lux has started 3 straight for the Dodgers, back-to-back multi-hit games. He's 33% rostered. And then Garrett Hampson had a double dong on Sunday and has started 7 of the last 9 games for the Rockies.
I don't think there's a lot to see here. I suspect Flores' return might also impact La Stella's playing time in some way. It's surprising he'd been playing so much. You know, Hampson, we know what to make of him. Gavin Lux has been playing left field since returning, which is interesting. But it's not like he was hot at AAA, so I'm not about to take a flyer on him again.
All right, a few other standouts from the weekend. Cedric Mullins, 2 homers and 2 steals. He's now up to 29 home runs and 28 steals. This is a ridiculous season for Cedric Mullins. Javier Baez had a sock and a shoe on Saturday. He knew I was in attendance, so he wanted to show off. I do appreciate that, Javier Baez. He's been awesome.
Show off the foot apparel.
Yeah, he's been awesome since joining the Mets. 31 games, batting .306, 8 homers, 4 steals. Overall, he's up to 30 homers and 17 steals for the season, Javier Baez. So just an awesome bounce back year. And someone is going to, yeah, it's funny because
generating headlines for all the wrong reasons.
Right. But. Yeah. He threw the ball away, which allowed the Yankees to tie the game. I think either tie the game or bring it to within 1 run on Saturday. And everyone around the stadium just started doing like the thumbs down. So it was pretty funny.
They're trying to turn it around. Lindor was given the thumbs up to the crowd after after the home runs tonight. And they seem to be loving it. So, you know, Lindor kind of got lumped in there.
Yeah. Baez is going to get paid by someone this offseason. I don't know who it's going to be, but he's having a great year. You know who's not having a great year? That's Joey Gallo. He's done the opposite since joining the Yankees. 39 games with them. He is batting .136 with a 40% strikeout rate. I know he could get hot, Scott, but he's still 98% rostered. I don't know. Hey, playing this bad, I kind of feel like you can't start him.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, you know, they faced the Orioles this week, so now I don't know. The Orioles are so bad.
The Yankees have the single best matchups this week.
Oh, man.
But so, I don't know. Like, you know, Gallo, that doesn't mean Gallo's going to turn it on. It's either on or it's off with him. I hate this profile. I hate it because you never know what to do with it. He's definitely a you don't want this weapon falling in the wrong hands kind of player.
Yeah.
But if. It would have to be a specific circumstances. Like I'm specifically chasing home runs and RBI in my roto league. You know, maybe some 5 outfielder leagues you really won't have much choice but to start him anyway. But if you're talking about like a points league, it's not worth it.
So 7 games this week, 2 lefties on the schedule. Both of those are against Baltimore. Man, just Baltimore's so bad. Again, 44 runs given up to the Blue Jays over their last 3 games. All right, I take it back. I think you probably want to leave Gallo in there against the Orioles just because they're that bad. Luis Arias went 2-for-4 with his 20th home run of the season on Friday. He's got second, third base, shortstop eligibility, 66% rostered. The problem, the Brewers only play 5 games this upcoming week. Miles Straw had 3 steals on Friday. And in 40 games with Cleveland, he's batting .280 with 10 steals, 52% rostered for those of you chasing speed in your category leagues. A few others here. Bryce Harper, 6 homers over his last 8 games. He's now batting .307 with 32 home runs and 12 steals. Awesome year for Bryce Harper. Nice weekend for Byron Buxton, a bounce back, 5 hits, including 2 home runs. Luis Robert, in 27 games since returning from the IL, .368 batting average, 6 homers, 1 steal, 14% strikeout rate for Luis Robert. Colton Wong and Avisael Garcia both had a pair of double dongs on Sunday, and Mitch Haniger has homered in back-to-back games, however, is only batting .216 over his last 30 games. Would you drop Mitch Haniger, Scott, or at least entertain the thought?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. No.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, so let's go over to the pitching side of things. I do have some starter sit questions for you. Kyle Hendricks bounced back this weekend. His first quality start since August 17th. Would you start or sit at the Phillies this week?
I'm probably going to start him in half my leagues. And so I have him in a lot of leagues. Probably going to start him in half and sit him in half. So, and it'll be based on what my other options are at starting pitcher. More likely to start him in a points league than a roto, I would say. But, you know, in a roto, it kind of depends what you need. If you need wins more, if you need strikeouts more. I mean, I guess mostly just come down to if you need wins, right?
Yeah. I guess if you really need a high ERA, he's probably good for that too.
He got dropped in one of my 15-team roto leagues, and I picked him up for $7 of a $1,000 budget. Like, nobody wanted him in that league.
I mean, it's
surprising to me.
I guess it's, yeah, it is a 15-team league, but it's, man, it's just Hendricks has been so bad at Philly too. It's pretty scary. I think anything deeper than 12 teams, you could probably talk me into it, but I don't know.
Well, he's been bad unless he's been good is the thing.
But like when he's right? bad, he's been really bad.
Oh yeah. When he was bad, he was horrid.
Yep. A lot like this next pitcher we're about to talk about, who is Germán Márquez. He was at the Phillies this weekend. 6 shutout with 6 strikeouts. It was his first quality start since August 17th as well. Would you start or sit at the Atlanta Braves?
Oh yeah, very similar situation. I'd prefer to be able to sit him, but he may be the best I have. Mm-hmm. Kind of just depends.
He was actually dropped in my main event 15 team roto as well, and he was added for $52 out of a $1,000 budget on Sunday. So I had a bid in, but I didn't even have $52 left to spend. So I did not get him. Unfortunately, Ian Anderson was at the Marlins this weekend. 5 innings, 2 runs, 9 strikeouts, 21 swinging strikes on 89 pitches. Would you start him at home against the Rockies this week?
Probably. And this was a really interesting start because he had a combined 0 strikeouts in his previous 2 starts. I was getting kind of worried. He bounces back with this. And granted, it was against the Marlins, but 9 strikeouts in 5 innings and 21 swinging strikes. I mean, even when Ian Anderson was a big strikeout when he came up last year and was getting a bunch of strikeouts, when he's gotten strikeouts at times this year, wasn't on swinging strikes. And then beyond that, 13 of those swinging strikes were on the curveball. The changeup is really his elite pitch. The curveball is, sometimes he's good at getting like called strikes with it, but swinging strikes, it's not usually what it's there for. So I couldn't really find anything explaining what he did differently, but it was an interesting start for Ian Anderson and makes me wonder if he's figured something out there with his breaking ball.
Yeah. Get him back in there at home against the Colorado Rockies. How about Trevor Rogers? In 2 starts since returning, he's allowed 6 earned runs over 8 2/3 innings. Doesn't look right now. They're not letting him go deep into his starts. Would you start or sit at the Nationals this week?
Probably sit. He's at the point where he needs to show me something before I get him back in my lineup, which I guess means he's not undroppable. I would be a little scared to drop him, but it's not unthinkable.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup this week too. I know that we look at the Nationals and they, you know, they traded away Trey Turner and they kind of, you know, had their fire sale, but they are first in WOBA against left-handed pitching this year, and they are 10th in WOBA over the last 14 days overall. So their offense is still playing pretty well.
Yep.
All things considered. Framber Valdez over his last 2 starts, 11 innings pitched, 8 runs, 7 walks, 10 strikeouts. Looks like he's starting to lose the control again here. Scott, would you start or sit at the Texas Rangers, which is a good matchup?
I would start. I mean, most of the walks were in this most recent start. He had 5 walks on Friday combined at that equaled the number of walks he had issued in his previous 4 starts. So it's really a one-off, So yeah, against the Rangers, I'd still trust Framber Valdez.
I believe he started against them recently. Yes, he did on August 28th, 7 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. So yeah, one of his better starts this year. Get Framber Valdez back in there. Hyunjin Ryu at the Orioles. The Orioles crush lefties, man. They're not very good at, they're bad at a lot of things, but against lefties, they are actually pretty good. Hyunjin Ryu gives up 7 earned runs over 2 1/3. His last 18 starts now since the beginning of June, a 4.98 ERA, a 4.39 xFIP. Scott, Ryu's ERA is now 4.11 overall, which means you might have to eat a hat. Would you start him against the Twins this week at home?
I don't think so. I think Hyunjin Ryu has gotten old on us. That's all I can make of it at this point. He's just gotten old.
Yeah,
he's 34. That's younger than me, but it's old.
Yeah,
in the baseball sense,
it's kind of like right in between us, Scott. You know, age wise, that's Hyunjin Ryu.
Yeah,
Frank and Scotty age sandwich. I'm with you though. I mean, I'm starting him in a 15 team league because I don't have a choice. I don't have many options, but I think if you can get away from him, it's something I would look to do. Dylan Cease was up against the Red Sox this weekend, 2 2/3, 5 walks, 7 earned runs, but he faces the Rangers this week.
Yeah, and he had been pretty reliable before this. His ERA jumped about 40 points. It's now 4.22, I believe, but he had gotten it down in the 380s with a ton of strikeouts. So against the Rangers, I think you stick with Cease.
Yusei Kikuchi, 5 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts against the Diamondbacks this weekend. Had 14 swinging strikes on 76 pitches. He's still 81% rostered. He's only 55% started. And he's at the Royals this week. So that is a good matchup.
It was a great start in a sea of misery for Yusei Kikuchi. So, no, I can't. Even with that matchup, I can't bring myself to start him.
Aaron Civale gives up 7 runs to the Milwaukee Brewers on Sunday. Would you start or sit at the Yankees this week?
Yeah, he looked good in his first start off the IL. But I don't know. He's kind of... I know his numbers are much better this year, but he's kind of like Kyle Hendricks, I think, where when it goes bad, it goes really bad. Mm-hmm. And... this will be his third start back from a long IL stint. It's risky. I think I'd prefer to sit Civale, but you may not have great alternatives.
Last one here, probably more so for deeper leagues, but Nick Pivetta, 5 1/3, 1 unearned run against the White Sox on Sunday. He's 72% rostered. He's at home against the Baltimore Orioles. He's someone who stood out to me because he was available in some deeper leagues. What do you think about that start?
I just don't think Pivetta is very good.
Yeah.
Before going on the COVID IL, he had 3 straight, 4 earned run outings. You know, decent start against the White Sox coming back, but I'd rather not put my trust in him.
Okay, I lied. There's one more. Aaron Nola is at the Mets this week. He's got a 5.56 ERA on the road. I know that you keep saying that you're going down with the ship, Scott.
Going down with the ship.
Are you actually doing it?
He gave us 10 strikeouts on Sunday. With a not so great ERA, but 10 strikeouts. You can't, you know, they're in the bag. You can't lose those 10 strikeouts.
What a weird season, man. He had a sub-1 whip in this start. 5 hits, 0 walks, 5 1/3, but he gives up 3 runs.
He just gave up a 3-run homer to Hampson, I think, right?
Yeah.
That was it. 3-run homer, didn't make it 6. And by the way, I think he's gone less than 6 innings in 7 of his past 8. I believe it is. So, but then, and then the one where he went more than 6, he went like 8 2/3 or something. So,
I can't tell which side you're on anymore, Scott, because it kind of sounds like you're giving
I'm just giving you facts.
Yeah, those are.
Just the facts.
All right, sir. So you're keeping him in the lineup at the Mets.
Yeah. I mean, I think Aaron Nola's good. I understand. He's not showing us that very regularly, but he is at least getting strikeouts. And look, the whip is down to 1.12 on the season. It's a good whip. It's a high ERA, basically.
Yeah. Weird season for Nola. Lance Lynn made his return this weekend as well. He's at the Rangers this upcoming week. So yeah, make sure to get Lance Lynn back in your lineups. The call to the pen, some bullpen updates on Friday for the Orioles. Cole Sulcer pitched 2 innings. He picked up his 7th save of the season. For the Reds on Friday, Michael Givens got his 7th save. Michael Lorenzen used in the eighth inning. That's been the formula recently, but it's the Reds, so take it with a grain of salt. For the Mariners, Drew Steckenrider struck out the side on Friday for his eighth save. Diego Castillo was used in the eighth inning. Paul Sewald had allowed three earned runs over his previous two appearances before that game. So who gets the next save opportunity for the Mariners, Scott?
I think Steckenrider's the top choice here. That doesn't mean he necessarily gets the next save chance, but I think he's the one to roster.
For the Rangers, Joe Barlow picked up two saves this weekend, available in very deep leagues. For Oakland on Saturday, Sergio Romo came in the eighth, up 6-2. He gives up four earned runs. It was actually three. He left with a runner on base. Andrew Chafin comes in, gives up a two-run homer. He actually takes the loss. So Oakland's bullpen is an absolute mess right now.
And they're sinking like a rock.
Sure are. For the Pirates, I mentioned Chris Stratton picked up his sixth save. David Bednar is dealing with an injury right now. For the Cardinals, Giovanni Gallegos picked up two more saves this weekend and is widely available if you do need
a closer. Giovanni Gallegos might be a top 10 closer right now. He's gotten four saves in 5 days.
Yeah.
And Alex Reyes isn't getting the rollback. They're making him a multi-inning reliever for the rest of the season, kind of in preparation for him competing for a rotation spot next spring. So they haven't declared Gallegos the closer, but he's gotten six straight saves, including four in the last 5 days, and Reyes is out of there. So Gallegos is, if he's not an ace reliever, he's just below that.
It's finally happening for your boy, Scott. Lego my Gallegos.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Except don't let him go. Get him on your team. For the Marlins, Dylan Floro gave up a run on Saturday but picked up his 10th save. For the Nationals, Kyle Finnegan recorded the final five outs on Sunday, picked up his 9th save. Carlos Estevez, a clean inning for his 7th save. And then for the Diamondbacks, JB Wendelken picked up his first save of the season. Tyler Clippard is currently on the COVID IL with flu-like symptoms. He threw a bullpen on Sunday, so there is a chance that he can return this upcoming week. To stream or not to stream, we'll start with Monday. Rich Hill versus the Cardinals, Logan Gilbert versus the Red Sox, AJ Alexi versus the Astros, Ryan Yarbrough at the Blue Jays, Paolo Espino versus the Marlins, and John Gant at the Yankees.
Okay, I'm going to say Rich Hill versus St. Louis is probably the only one I'd actually do, but if you need a second one, Logan Gilbert against the Red Sox.
Yeah, don't start Logan Gilbert, but Rich Hill, yeah, I can get behind that. For Tuesday, Jesus Luzardo at the Nationals, Eric Fetty versus the Marlins, Luis Gil at the Orioles, John Gray at the Braves, Tuki Toussaint at home versus the Rockies, and Logan Allen at the Twins.
Luzardo at the Nationals, I think, is a good play. And I don't mind John Gray at Atlanta. I don't mind Tuki Toussaint versus the Rockies. But Luzardo is definitely my favorite here. I don't mind Luis Gil at Baltimore after he just walked 7.
Yeah, it's a little risky.
You know what? It may be a moot point because I think Luis Gil's actually going on Monday against the Twins with Cole coming back Tuesday.
Actually, I think you are right. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't even worry about
Luis apologies. Gil. I blame you. ESPN matchups. No, it's fine. You normally
that's what you get for using that inferior site, Frank.
You said it, not me. All right, we're gonna wrap there. For Scott, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again on Wednesday. Bye bye. If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Well, now it is on Homes.com. As somebody who's been through this, I can tell you these features are so, so incredibly valuable. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools, and their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. The area you live in is just as important as the house itself. You can get to know a neighborhood without ever setting foot in it. Say you're a really active person. You could find out about the nearest parks. Do they have a baseball field? Maybe you want to join a softball league like Chris and I play in. Also, Homes.com collaboration tools makes it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com, we've done your homework.